The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts: Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad, Habibi Rabbil Alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Allahumma wafiqna lima tuhibbuhu wa tardah, waj'alna Allahumma min abidika su'ada, wa amitna ala kalimatil huda wa tuqa ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we've reached hadith number 15 of the 40 hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second set of 40 hadiths in praise of Allah, mighty and majestic. And these are not all hadiths that are explicitly praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in all of them, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is understood. The praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is understood. So the 15th hadith, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال. It's related by Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah, one of the great companions who narrated a lot of hadith. من المكثرين من الرواية. قال خرج علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, came out to us. فقال خرج من عندي خليلي جبرائيل آنفا. He said, and the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, my intimate companion Jibreel just left my company now. فقال يا محمد, and he had said, يا محمد والذي بعثك بالحق إن لله عبادا من عباده عبد الله خمسين خمسمائة سنة على رأس جبل في البحر عرضه وطوله ثلاثون ذراعا في ثلاثين ذراعا والبحر محيط به أربعة آلاف فرسخ من كل ناحية وأخرج له عينا عذبة بعرض الإصبع تبض بماء عذب فيستنقع في أسفل الجبل والشجرة ترمان تخرج في كل ليلة تخرج في كل ليلة رمانا يتعبد يومه فإذا أمسى نزل فأصاب من الوضوء وأخذ تلك الرمانة فأكلها ثم عاد لصلاته. So the Prophet ﷺ came out to the companions and he said that my intimate companion Jibreel just left. And the word Jibreel is Mu'arrab, it's Arabized, it can be said in a number of ways. Right? And when it comes in the Qur'an, we read it as has come. Right? And this, it's come, you know, like Jibra'il and different Qira'at. Read it differently in various places. Here it's written Jibra'il. And the asl in the hadith is to read it according to the riwayah. And he said, O Muhammad, by the one who sent you with the truth, truly Allah had a servant from amongst his servants who worshipped Allah 500 years on the top of a mountain in the, you know, on an island in the sea. An island whose width and length was 30 dhira, 30 arm lengths, 30 handspan, which would be just 15 meters by 15 meters, basically like a rock. Right? And it was surrounded by the sea. Right? For 4,000 farsakh, right? For thousands of miles from each direction. But Allah brought out for him a spring, a ayn, of sweet water, whose width, arduhu, whose width was a finger, that would bring out a little, you know, bring out a little sweet water. Ma, bima'in azb. Azb is sweet water. Sweet, not meaning that sugared. Sweet as in, yeah, sweet to drink with a good taste. That would pull up. Yastanqi'. It would gather up at the bottom of the mountain. And a pomegranate tree, Shajarati Ruman, that each night would bring out one pomegranate, Rumana. And this servant of Allah would worship by day. And when nighttime came, Amsa, when the Masa, when nighttime came, he would go down and make wudu and take that pomegranate. فأكلها, and he would eat from it. ثم عاد لصلاته, and then he'd go back to devotion. So he was devoted the whole time. The only time he'd take a break was to renew his wudu, to drink some water and have the pomegranate. That's it. فسأل ربه عند وقت الأجل أن يقبضه ساجدا. And he asked his Lord that when the time came, when his apportioned time came, أجل is a time period. When his apportioned time came, that he take him in a state of prostration. So he's so devoted. Not only did he live worshipping, but he asked to be taken in a state of prostration. وَأَنْ لَا يَجْعَلِ لِلْأَرْضِ وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ يُفْسِدُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And not to make the earth nor anything ruin his body. Right? In any way, وَلَجْعَلْ لِشَيْءٍ يُفْسِدُهُ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, not to allow anything to corrupt his body. حَتَّى يَبْعَثَهُ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ, until Allah would resurrect him in a state of prostration. فَقَالَ فَفَعَلَ فَنَحْنُ نَمُرُّ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا حَبَطْنَا وَإِذَا عَرَجْنَا. And Allah did so. So we passed by him when we descended and when we ascended. Who's speaking here? Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. So the angels see this man who was taken in the state of prostration. فَنَجِدُ لَهُ فِي الْعِلْمِ أَنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيُوقَفُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. But we know from knowledge, meaning from Allah's knowledge, and what he has disclosed to the angels, that this servant will be made to stand on the day of resurrection. This devoted servant, who worshipped the whole time, didn't take anything of the dunya except the extent of the water for his wudu and a pomegranate to nourish himself. فَيُوقَفُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Be made to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَقُولُ لَهُ الرَّبُّ. So the Lord will say to him, أَدْخِلُ عَبْدِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. أَدْخِلُ عَبْدِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. Make my servant enter paradise. بِرَحْمَتِي. By my mercy. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي بَلْ بِعَمَلِي. And this servant will say, but by my action. فيقول أدخل عبدي الجنة برحمتي. So Allah repeats, make my servant enter paradise by my action, by my mercy. فيقول ربي بل بعملي. He said, O Lord, by my actions. فيقول الله قايس عبدي بنعمتي عليه وبعملي. He said, compare for my servant between my blessings upon him and by his actions. فتوجد نعمة البصر قد أحاطت بعبادتي 500 سنة. So it is found that the blessing of sight alone has encompassed, أحاطت, encompassed the worship of 500 years. وبقيت نعمة الجسد فضلا عليه. And the blessing of the rest of the body remains as a blessing upon him. فيقول أدخل عبدي النار. So then Allah Most High says, make my servant enter hellfire. فيجر إلى النار. And he'll be dragged to hell. فينادي ربي برحمتك أدخلني الجنة. So then this devotee will say, O Lord, by your mercy, make me enter paradise. فيقول ردوه فيوقف بين يديه. Then he's told to return and he's made to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فيقول يا عبدي من خلقك ولم تك شيئا. فيقول أنت يا رب. When he's standing before Allah, Allah will ask him, O my servant, who created you when you were nothing? And he will say, You, O Lord. فيقول من قواك لعبادتي. Then Allah will ask him, who granted you the strength for my worship? 500 سنة, for 500 years. فيقول أنت يا رب. And he will say, You, O Lord. فيقول من أنزلك في جبل وسط اللجة وأخرج لك الماء العذب من الماء المالح وأخرج لك كل ليلة رمانة وإنما تخرج في السنة. And he asks, and who allowed you to be on a mountaintop in the middle of the ocean, and who brought forth for you sweet water from the salty water of the sea, while surrounded by the salty water of the sea, and who brought forth for you every night a pomegranate when they only come out once a year. وَسَأَلْتَهُ أَنْ يَقْبِضَكَ سَاجِدًا فَفَعَلْ. And you asked him to take you back in prostration, and he did so. فَيَقُولُ أَنْتَ يَا رَبْ. And the servant say, You, O Lord. قَالَ فَذَلِكَ بِرَحْمَتِي. Said, so all that was by my mercy. All of it. All the things that you think you did, and all the means that were facilitated for it, were all by Allah's mercy. فَأَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah made him enter. Sorry, بِرَحْمَتِي. He says, وَبِرَحْمَتِي أُدْخِلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. And by my mercy will I make you enter paradise. أَدْخِلُ عَبْدِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. Then Allah commands the angels, make my servant enter paradise. فَنِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ فَنِعْمَ الْعَبْدَ كُنْتْ. For what a good servant you were. يَا عَبْدِي. O my servant. فَأَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah made him enter paradise. Right. Of course, there's many lessons in this. Right. The central lesson is the one mentioned by Sayyidina Jibreel in this conversation with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. قَالَ Sayyiduna Jibreel, and the Prophet ﷺ then Jibreel said, إِنَّمَا الْأَشْيَاءُ بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ. Said, all things are by Allah's mercy, O Muhammad. رَاهُ الْحَاكِمِ. And this hadith is related by Al-Hakim. And Imam Al-Hafidh Al-Mundhiri said that this is a hadith with rigorously authentic. chain of transmission. إنما الأشياء برحمة الله. الشيء يعني the علماء define what is a شيء. They say وعندنا الشيء هو الموجود. Like it's in جوهرة التوحيد. It's actually a matter of belief. That شيء, a thing, refers to something that exists. Right? So all existent things. Okay? All things meaning all existent things are by Allah's mercy. Why? Because as Ibn Athaillah says, نِعْمَتَانِ لَا يَنْفَكُّ عَنْهُمَا مَوْجُودٌ قَطْ. There's two blessings that nothing that exists is bereft of. نِعْمَةُ الْإِيجَادِ وَنِعْمَةُ الْإِمْدَادِ. The blessing of being originated, وَنِعْمَةُ الْإِمْدَادِ. And the blessing of Allah's madad, of His sustaining at every moment. And this is one of the explanations of Allah's being Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahmanu bi-ni'mati al-ijad, wa-Rahim bi-ni'mati al-imdad. He's the all-merciful by the mercy of originating, and the particularly merciful by the mercy of sustaining, imdad. Al-Hafidh al-Munziri was a distinguished Hafidh and has many important works. One of them is a brilliant and sometimes sadly neglected in our times work, because people have distanced themselves from practical concern for the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, is his work At-Targhibu wa At-Tarhib, the encouragement and warning, right? Which it's a brilliant work. He looked at, I think, about 15 of the major works of Hadith, all six books of the Sunan al-Sitta, Bukhari, Muslim, and the other four books of Sunan, and the other secondary main collections, and gathered in them and arranged by chapter all the hadiths in which there has come some encouragement, just targhib, or some warning, tarhib. And it's one of those works that one should have, make an aspiration to read, like the practice, you know, one's practical knowledge of the sunnah, right? And this is, these are things that are expected of a believer, that they should, you know, they, you know, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولَهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have an example. Right? It's not, the Prophet ﷺ is not a legal argument for you, that you say, well, I'm following this hadith. Right? Like that's taken care of, and there's a place for that. But there's a devotional responsibility. Right? And it's an amazing, and also these encouragements and warnings, no one would disagree about them. No one will say that, no, you know, you shouldn't put on your sandals sitting down. Right? Like, it's very clear. There's adab, there's akhlaq, there's a lot of things. This is a wonderful work. It's, you know, several thousand hadiths. So that's the hadith that we're going to look at today. We're also looking daily at, in these daily rohas, at the work of Imam Zarnuji rahimahullahu ta'ala, called Ta'lim al-Muta'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allum, instructing the student on the ways of seeking knowledge, which is a beautiful, beautiful work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realize us in the meanings of being a student of knowledge. And where did we reach? The section on how one chooses, right? How one chooses knowledge, في اختيار العلم, how one chooses what to study. Number two, في اختيار العلم والأستاذ, and the teacher, and والشريك, and the companion, يعني والثبات, and to remain ثابت, to remain firm on that. So he says, ينبغي, and these are key ingredients in pursuing. One has to choose the right knowledge to study and to prioritize in one's study. And one has to seek the right kind of teacher. And any journey, the sunnah of journeys, is that one journey with companions. Right? And the more dangerous or challenging the journey, the more important your companions are on the journey, because they facilitate the journey and they support you in the challenges. Right? But the sharik, your partner is called sharik because you are sharing. What are you sharing? Right? You are sharing in the goal. Right? You are sharing in the goal. You are sharing the challenges. And they say, so the sharik, al-asl fihi, and that they have a shared goal. The benefit is that the challenges are shared. The one challenge faced by two people, it gets divided up. It's easier. Right? It makes the challenges more manageable. Right? Wathabat, right? To remain firm. And they say, man thabata nabat. Whoever remains firm bears fruit. ومن لا فلا ينبغي لطالب العلم أن يختار من كل علم أحسنه. It befits the seeker of knowledge to choose from every knowledge the best of it. Right? And what's the best of it is what they need. And he explained what they need the most and what's most important. And what should be sought first, right? So, it is what they need the most, practically. Number two, what is most important, right? And then, what needs to be sought first. So, it serves as a foundation for what comes after. وَمَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي أَمْرِ دِينِهِ. And what one needs in the matter of one's religion, فِي الْحَالِ, in the immediate. ثم ما يحتاج إليه في المآل. And then what one needs afterwards. What will need afterwards. So some things right now, let's say you're not working, but you will need to work, so you need to learn about it. If you're married but don't have children, but you will have children, so you learn about the things that relate to your rights and responsibilities before you become responsible. Likewise, in any other matter. ثم ما يحتاج إليه في المآل فيقدم علم التوحيد والمعرفة. So one gives precedence to the science of divine oneness and of knowing Allah. علم التوحيد والمعرفة, the science of عقيدة, what one believes about Allah. And what Allah has made incumbent for us to believe of the matters of belief. And then he explains what that entails. وَيَعْرِفُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِالدَّلِيلِ فَإِنَّ إِيمَانَ الْمُقَلِّدِ وَإِنْ كَانَ صَحِيحًا عِنْدَنَا لَكِنْ يَكُونُ آثِمًا بِتَرْكِ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. Right? He said, and one should know Allah with proofs. And one should know why one believes. For the faith of the one who believes out of mere following, I believe because my parents believe. Even though it is valid according to us, right? According to us, Imam Zarnuji is coming from the Maturidi tradition, but also the absolute majority of Ahl Sunnah have said that Iman al-Muqallid Sahih, that the faith of the one who makes taqlid is valid, but you know, this is the same position of the later Ash'aris as well. But they're sinful for leaving reasoning, for leaving istidlal, having a way to affirm your faith. Right? And you don't need detailed proof, but someone is considered no longer, if they know with conviction, not just by prattling it, that, well, this world is created and it needs a creator, and that creator is Allah. And they have that level of understanding. They don't need to have, one only needs more than that if one's faith is tested or challenged or One has questions oneself. ويختار العتيق دون المحدثات. And this is something really important, that one chooses old knowledge, not newfangled things. And al-atiq here, that when old knowledge means what is established, right? What is established, what is clearly known, not newfangled theories, ideas, etc., untested ideas, right? Right. They say فكل خير في اتباع من سلف وكل شر في ابتداع من خلف. Right. All good is in following those who have come before, and all harm is in the innovations of those who have come after. Meaning, in any time, there's people who sort of do their own thing. They have their own ideas. Well, you know, and in general, if you, we know, كل من سار على الدرب وصل, as Ibn al-Wardi says, everyone who follows a trodden path will reach. And the funniest thing is when people try to convince you to pursue a path that they've not reached the completion of. They say, learn Arabic, learn the Quranic Arabic in X amount of time. I say, are you a master of Quranic Arabic? No. Has anyone certified that you're a master of Quranic Arabic? No. So you're basically saying, you'll help me learn something that you're not a master of yourself. Very interesting. Right? Etc. And there's a lot of people around who do this kind of stuff. So one chooses established knowledge. And he says, وَقَالُوا عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْعَتِيقِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمُحْدَثَاتِ. He said that seek what's old and established and beware of newfangled things. So this has application in the religious sciences, that beware of people who just do their own thing. And that's, and he's warning in the 6th Islamic century, that there's people out there who are just doing their own thing, right? And this idea of knowledge being a trodden path is important. But also, a lot of people end up spending a lot of time with new issues. But, and this is something Sheikh Adib Kallas, rahimahullah, would emphasize a lot. People would go and say, what about all the typical controversial issues? Tawassul, this, that, taqleed, this, I said, ta'allam, ta'rif. Right? If you learn and you'll know. Right? That rather than going deeply into individual issues, what do we say? How do we refute so and so about this? How do we refute so and so about that? If you learn the knowledge, you'll know the answers. Okay? Otherwise, you'll just be picking up scraps here and there, but you're still hungry. And you cannot feed anyone else. So this is part of what established knowledge. That if you want deen, a lot of people, they decide to learn. They say, there's several bid'ahs. One is being busied with controversial issues. But even contemporary issues, etc., there's a place for them. But they're not a substitute for learning. Let's say you know everything there is to know about modernity, but you don't know what your iman is, then your sophisticated understanding of modernity just leaves you as a sophisticated modern person who still doesn't know their iman. Okay. So there's one has to do with controversies, but also just contemporary issues, whether it be in faith or law or spirituality or, you know, or political matters, etc. And even worse is, you know, people, and you see students of knowledge too, they're spending hours a day following the US elections or this, that. Go read some books. Go read some books. If you don't know what to read, ask. Right? So these are, this is an important counsel. It says, وَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَشْتَغِلَ بِهَذَا الْجَدَلِ الَّذِي ظَهَرَ بعد انقراض الأكابر من العلماء فإنه يبعد الطالب عن الفقه says, and beware of ever busying yourself with jadal, which is debate, right? Scholastic debate that manifested after the great scholars departed. It became very popular because people cared about deen, so people would debate, but it wasn't really for any purpose except for the sake of debating, because it distances the student of knowledge from true fiqh, which is building your foundation correctly. وَيُضَيِّعُ الْعُمْرِ, and it wastes one time, one's life. وَيُورِثُ الْوَحْشَ وَالْعَدَاوَ, and it bequeaths alienation between people and enmity. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ, and it's from the signs of the last day that debate and disputation about religion becomes widespread. And this applies in a scholarly way, avoid the debates of the ulama, but also in family and so on. Never be involved in discussions on moon sighting. Never discuss halal meat and haram meat and this. If you can get away with never discussing anything, do so. Save your energy to learn properly, and when the time is right, convey clearly. And the less you talk about religion, the more people will listen to you about it. Right? وَهُوَ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ وَارْتِفَاعِ الْعِلْمِ وَالْفِقْهِ كَذَا وَرَدَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. It's also of the signs of the lifting of knowledge and the lifting of religious understanding, as has come in hadith. So this is his emphasis on how one chooses knowledge. Choose what's most important, what you need. Begin with a clear understanding of what you believe. And that doesn't take a lot of time. Any of the basic introductory texts on Islamic belief is a good starting point. But beware of people who go over the top, who you have to spend years just learning what you believe. Right? Because it's important to begin with that, but that doesn't take very long at all. Right? And as Sheikh Hamza said, despite being mocked by some of our attitudinally divergent friends about it, but he's right, that all you need to know about Aqeedah is contained in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Directly, like what you need to believe about Allah, contained there. وَيَنْطَوِي فِي كِلْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ مَا قَدْ مَضَى مِنْ سَيْرِ أَحْكِيَ. The statement of Tawheed contains all the meanings of Aqeedah. That's how straightforward it is, if understood properly by, as conveyed by its people. Okay, so it doesn't take a long, long time. Okay. And then he tells us about the choice of the teacher, and we'll just read that. We ask Allah SWT to guide us to the teachers who will benefit us. وَأَمَّا اخْتِيَارُ الْأُسْتَاذِ فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَخْتَارَ الْأَعْلَمَ وَالْأَوْرَعَ وَالْأَسَنَ. As for teaching, choosing one's teacher, it is befitting that one choose the most learned, the most scrupulous, and the oldest, the most senior. Right? And each of these, there's clear hadiths related to it. The Quran, Allah SWT tells us, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Over everyone of knowledge, there's someone more knowing. The Prophet ﷺ asked, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. O Lord, increase me knowledge. So you seek knowledge not just from someone who knows, but someone who knows more than others. Scrupulousness, because it's a foundational principle of our religion. دَعْمَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. Leave what makes you doubt for what doesn't make you doubt. Al-Asan, the most aged, because with age comes wisdom. And the Sunnah itself has been described as hikmah, as wisdom. But what's sought by age is not just age in years, but that is maturity. Is someone who's mature of judgment, whose knowledge has borne fruit, who understand, this doesn't know the knowledge, but knows how it's applied, etc. and wisdom. And there's many hadith. And Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi actually devoted a whole chapter in his work, Al-Faqih al-Mutafaqih, of the narrations in warning against learning from Al-Ahdath, right? The immature. And that's a fitna. A lot of people start following young students of knowledge, and there's a difference between someone who's young and enthusiastic sharing benefit, right, and giving their opinion. Right? And if someone's young and they're giving too many opinions, one should generally keep one's distance, right? Because that's not a good thing. Like, what do you, and you don't judge them, but the basis is that, you know, that opinion is sought from those who have experience. Right? Until one does, unless they're conveying from those who are ahlun li dhaka, right? Those who have, who are fit to do that, right? Because the basis is, especially on the big issues, etc. And but in general, one should be very wary. People should know their places. And there's some things, like someone went to one of the senior mashayikh and said, Alhamdulillah, and I got ijazah from so-and-so and from so-and-so and from so-and-so. The sheikh said, and did any of them teach you any adab? It was a bit of a... And the senior sheikh actually walked away. It was a bit of a shock. I heard it from both sides, because a couple of days later, the senior sheikh said, can you believe what's going on? I said, what? And the other side said, why is he upset with me? I said, like, I just kept quiet, because it's none of my business. But there's... It's important to know, yeah. And those who display that kind of immaturity, right? Well, one should be very careful. And as a student of knowledge, one shouldn't be that immature person who just expressing their thoughts and their opinions and so on, right? Like some, you know, they say, you know, the cup that is full cannot be filled, right? Right. So. كما اختار أبو حنيفة حماد بن سليمان. And this is how Abu Hanifa rahimahullah chose Hamad ibn Abi Sulaiman rahimahullah ta'ala after بعد التأمل والتفكر, after much thought and reflection. وقال وجدته شيخا وقورا حليما صبورا. He said, I found him mature, a sheikh, older, waqur, of great dignity, and halim, and great forbearance, sabur, and great patience. رزقنا الله تعالى هذه المعاني. وقال ثبت عند حماد ابن سليمان فنبت. And it is said about Imam Abu Hanifa, he remained firm with Hamad ibn Sulaiman, so he bore fruit. قال رحمه الله تعالى سمعت حكيما من حكماء سمرقند يقول إن واحدا من طلبة العلم شاوروني في طلب العلم وكان عازما على الذهاب إلى بخارى لطلب العلم وهكذا ينبغي أن يشاور في كل أمر. Then he mentions that he said that I heard a wise man from the wise men of Samarkand, and these were great cities in Central Asia, Samarkand and Bukhara, which were destroyed by the Mongol hordes. They're great centers of learning. Say that a student, well, one of the students consulted him about seeking knowledge when he had resolved to go to Bukhara to seek knowledge. So going from Samarkand to Bukhara, and he asked this wise scholar for advice. And Imam Zanuji says, وَهَكَذَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُشَاوَرَ فِي كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. And this is how one should consult about every matter. Right? And just recently I suggested someone, they should ask Sheikh so-and-so whether to do that thing. So they said, Alhamdulillah, I got to meet Sheikh so-and-so, and I asked them if it's okay to do such and such thing. But there's a big difference between asking whether that you should do this and is it okay to do it. He said, it's okay, okay, go ahead. Well, that you didn't consult. You just confirmed. And usually most people just let things be. Right? And that's foolish. يعني فإن الله تعالى أمر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالمشاورة. For Allah Most High commanded His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم to consult in all matters. وشاورهم في الأمر. Consult them in the affair. Meaning in all things. وأمرهم شورى بينهم. And their affairs are through mutual consultation amongst them. That's the أصل is that anything of consequence, one consults those worthy of consulting before it. Right? وَلَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ أَفْطَنَ مِنْهُ. And there is no one who was sharper of intellect than him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ أُمِرَ بِالْمُشَاوَرَةِ. And despite that, he was commanded to consult. وَكَانَ يُشَاوِرُ أَصْحَابَهُ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to consult his companions in all matters. Hatta hawa'ij al-bayt, even the needs of the house. Right? And we look at the importance of consultation. So Imam Zarnuji takes an interlude. Right? So there's a story, the narration about the wise man from Samarkand, whom the student consulted with. And so he puts a foot, there's like a footnote there, and this is how it's important to consult. Allah commanded the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to consult in all matters, even the needs of his house, he used to consult his companions about them. Not out of indecisiveness, but to do that which was decisively better. And then we look at this importance of consultation, and then what the advice was of the wise man from Samarkand for the seeker of knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us of those who are wise, who consult, and who strive to have the qualities of those who sincerely seek knowledge and who sincerely convey knowledge. And may He forgive our shortcomings and replace every ill quality with its opposite in the ways beloved to Him and reflective of the example of His beloved Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.